Switching now to talk about antiques, appraisals, and auctions. Yesterday we talked with the executive producer of Public Television's Antiques Roadshow, Marcia Bemko, about she got a new book out about it, and several listeners had items with questions about their value. Well, she really couldn't talk about that, but I think Shirley Bauman can provide some advice when you call in with questions as we talk. Antiques, appraisals, and auctions with her. She's an auctioneer, certified appraiser, works out of Madison, BaumanAuctions.com, and she also has HeirloomAppraisal.com, a couple of websites for you as well. If you'd like to join in, I hope you do, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@WPR.org. Shirley with us by phone. Hi, Shirley.
Hi, Larry. Happy New Year to you and to your listeners.
Happy New Year to you as well. You know, we had fun yesterday talking with Marcia Bemko about the Antiques Roadshow. Did you attend the roadshow in last July?
Yes, I did. Both of the times it was in Madison and as well in Milwaukee.
So you were lucky and got tickets.
I did.
What do you recall from those events?
Well, it's just so wonderful. It's like organized chaos. Everybody is there at their appointed time, and the lines are huge, but they're all smiling, and they're talking about what they brought, and everybody is so proud of what they have in their hands, whether it's from the family or something they just picked up at an antique hunt. And by the time they get ready to do their appraisal, they seem like they've been old friends with the people that they've been standing in line with. And the days, there's about 4,000 or 5,000 people, I believe, that go through every time. And the appraisers are working hard all day long. They have to be there at 7:30 in the morning. And they keep working all the way through until the last people are through. They allow the last people to come in, I believe, at 5. And so then when those last people are through, that's when they're done. So it's a very long day for them, and they really work hard that day.
Oh, man. Well, given the increased popularity of online auctions and flea markets, is there a growing problem with fake antiques and reproductions?
Well, there is. And it has an effect on the market. And a good example, there's a couple of good ones, but one is the Hommel figurines. The Japanese have learned how to reproduce them pretty close to the originals. And so now the casual collectors are afraid to purchase them because they're not sure if they're going to get taken or not. And as a result, the price of those figurines has really bottomed out. It's hard to sell them at all. Where some years ago, you know, you used to go to, let's say 10 years ago, you'd go to an estate auction and some Hummels would come up and there'd be real spirited bidding for them. And now I would caution the listeners not to look at the guidebooks because they're going to be way, way off of what you can sell them for today.
So that's one example. And, you know, every one of our lines is filled, so I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. And Carol in Duluth is up first, so let's turn to Carol. Hi, Carol.
Hello.
And what can we do for you?
I was wondering if she could give me some information. I have a little Abner tin toy that has been featured a long time ago on the Antiques Roadshow, but it's missing a couple arms.
Okay.
And I want to know if it's possible for me to replace these arms.
First of all, I will tell you, yes, it probably is possible. There are places, and I can't tell you off the top, I'd have to go hunting through the internet, that do sell replacement parts for those most popular toys. So you should be able to replace those arms. What does this one look like? Is it like the piano player?
Yes.
Okay. And there were like three or four characters with it?
Mm-hmm.
That's a very nice toy, and I do see it. And when he plays the piano, they kind of jump around. And it's a real cute tin toy.
And the person playing the drum is missing one arm, and the lady sitting on top of the piano is missing one arm.
Okay, yes, you should be able to get those. Find a replacement service for vintage toys. And
Would I look under vintage toys on the
replacement.
Internet?
Okay. Replacement service for vintage toys. That's what I would use that whole thing in a search engine.
And something should pop up for you, Carol.
Yeah,
Thank you very much. Madeline in Oconomowoc, we are on to you now. Hi, Madeline.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hi. Yes, my question, I have several, but my mother is trying to sell. She's got a real eclectic collection. She has antique maps. She also has an antique seal collection of sealing wax. She has Pope seal, Napoleon seal, some Tsar seals. That's one question. Where would I go for that? And maybe in that, part two would be, she's dealing with several auction houses, and they're giving her several options. But how do I check on the auction houses? Very interestingly, one will say, oh, don't trust them. And she's 90 years old, very sharp, but she's in a tough position. How do I check on auction houses, and where should I go to have that sealing wax collection? It's about 140 sheets of seals with about 20 seals on each sheet.
Okay. Is she looking at auction houses in the local area where she is?
No, she is looking at Heritage in Dallas. She's looking at somebody in Philadelphia. She's looking at somebody in Boston.
Okay, she's looking at some of the bigger ones, right?
Right. So she does have an interesting collection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, how does one...
Bauman, did you say?
Pardon me?
Your house is called Bauman?
I'm Bauman Auctions. Or heirloom appraisal.
Okay, thank you.
To determine the, what would you say, the honesty of an auction house is really a word of mouth thing. One of the things I would tell you if you were looking at auctioneers in Wisconsin to look at the Wisconsin Auctioneers Association website. And members of the state associations and the national association have code of ethics that they have to live by and conduct their business accordingly. And so if, for example, there might be a problem, then you have the association that you can go back to and say, help me solve this problem.
Okay.
That is
you don't want a problem in the first place.
Yeah,
right.
You want to avoid the problem in the first
right.
place. I know that. Ask the auction houses for some references.
Okay.
Do watch online when they have auctions and
mm-hmm.
see how things seem to be going.
Okay.
And as far as where one can sell that those wax seals,
yeah.
I would say you would want to work with an auction house that has the ability to sell things online.
Okay.
Because I think you're going to have a small amount of people, smaller than a lot of other things, amount of people
right.
who collect those.
Right.
And so by going to your international audience through the Internet, I think
right.
you will have the most success.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you
that.
So much.
Yeah,
sure.
Thanks for calling. Ken in Monroe, your turn. Hi, Ken.
Hi, how's it going?
Great. Thank you for calling.
Good. My question is, I was working at a house and cleaning out the basement, and basically what I found was a stack of old silent movie posters, it looks like. And I went online and kind of looked for the date of the films that were made, and it looked like around like 1916, but they're kind of like record flats. They're kind of like 12 by 12 mm-hmm. Flyers, I guess. And I'm just wondering...
kind of shape are they in?
What's it? Excellent shape. I mean, they were just kind of stuck in between the joists.
Ah.
So it looks like I must have about, you know, 10, 15 of them.
Okay.
So.
Sounds like you might have hit a jackpot there.
Oh.
Movie posters are very, very popular.
Okay.
And the ones from the earlier years, the better. And those, the size, I think what you're talking about, they're kind of paperboard.
Yes.
And they would have been the cards probably that they put up at the theater.
Okay.
They're smaller than they are today. You know, everything has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. So I would say that, and it varies as to what the movie is and who the actors are as to what they would sell for. But did you get a lot of them?
About a dozen?
Actually, I did.
Okay.
There's actually three different types of movies.
Okay.
It looked like someone rolled them up and threw them in the back.
Okay, so they have been rolled.
Kind of, yeah. Not rolled, but kind of. They're not folded, but like just kind of slightly rolled, I guess.
Okay. If I had those, and they were in really good condition, as you seem to think they are, I would suggest that you go on the Internet and look up the Antiques Roadshow Appraisers and email some of those who specialize in movie memorabilia.
Okay.
Because that might be something that they could sell for you at a much better price than we can get locally.
Okay.
And I would, again, if you're going to deal with these auction houses, get all the information first, all the costs. What is it going to cost me to ship them? What is it going to cost me to insure them? Ask them how much you should insure them for. They'll probably want to see photos before you get into these discussions. But if they do, then how much should you insure them for? What is their percentage? You know, how much do you get back out of that? Some of the big auction houses are taking 40% these days. And again, you've got to see if that makes sense to you. If he gives you a pre-auction estimate that they're going to sell for a lot of money there, where at a local auction, they might not.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Shirley Bauman, our guest today, she'll be with us right up until 12:30 to talk antiques, appraisals, and auctions here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about antiques, appraisals, and auctions here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller with my guest, Shirley Bauman, auctioneer and certified appraiser. And really happy to have her back to be with us again to talk about this. And certainly if you have a question about an article, an item that you might have, or maybe a question about auctions or appraising, I hope you'll join us at 800-642-1234 or email at talk@wpr.org. Shirley with us by phone today. And let's turn to Chris in Hebron, Illinois next. Chris, hello.
Hi, I have a question. My grandfather used to work at a printing press, and the press was commissioned to do the first Playboy magazine. As far as I'm told, they recycle the plates that they used to actually make the magazine, but my grandfather made off with the Monroe cover. So I have the brass plate that was used to make the magazine. I'd like to know what that would be worth or what I could do with it or just what I can get.
Well, I tell you, I don't know offhand what it would be worth, but I do know that the first issue of the magazine is the one people go after to die for. It's quite a valuable piece. So the plate to print it, which there would be many fewer of, has got to be valuable, I would believe. Now, what would I do with it? It would take some research for me to know how much that is, because obviously it's something I've never dealt with specifically. Mm-hmm. Here again, I think you should search on the Internet, and the Internet is probably the best place to sell it if you would choose to do that.
Okay.
And look for, you know, under the Playboy name and for printing plates, both, each individually. And I think if you look, you'll get some idea of where to start it at an online auction, and you'll probably get good bidding on it.
All right, thank you so much.
All right, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate it. And let's see, we're going to turn to Bob in Dubuque, Iowa. Bob, hello.
Hello. How you doing?
Good, thank you for calling.
I have a couple of items. I actually have a couple of things. I've been a pack rat over the years, and I collect old things and mechanical things, and I have a couple of things that I come across. One is a Coca-Cola six-pack package that would have been, I guess, returnable in the grocery stores. And I cleaned out a grocery store when I was in high school, and it was something I hung on to among some other things that I knew were old. And I've always been curious. It's aluminum, and it would have been like the cardboard foldable six-pack, only it's aluminum. It doesn't fold, but the handle slides up and down in the package. And then I have a second item I found when I was canoeing along the Wisconsin River. It's a sterling silver cigarette case. It has Tiffany stamped on it, and also Italy.
Oh. All right. What do you think?
It had sterling silver, but not in Italy, right?
Yeah, it has a note on here. It's I don't know if I can't quite read it, but inside of the case, it has, I don't know, 9.925 maybe sterling, or it has
right. 0.925 is the standard for sterling, 92.5% silver.
Okay.
So that's what that means.
And then it says Italy, and then it says Tiffany's and Company.
Oh, it says Tiffany also. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, does it have any, say, jewels on the clasp?
No, it's really not very fancy other than it just has some basic, you know, it has kind of a, well, I don't know how you describe it, line, kind of just a real light lines, parallel lines that would be scribed into the outside of the case.
Sure.
It has a spring-loaded little button you push to open it, and then it has a little arm that is spring-loaded also that would have held the cigarettes into the case.
And is it in good condition?
It could be polished. Like I say, I found it when I was canoeing 40 years ago, and I've never done anything with it.
Okay. Well, the silver ones with, let's say, the jewels, the sapphires or rubies on the clasp are the ones the collectors go after, and they also like ones that are not monogrammed, because the ones with a monogram actually, you know, if it's monogrammed with a P and my name starts with R, you know, it doesn't,
right.
isn't something they want. So plainer ones like that often go in the range at auction, and about the, they can go to in the 200, 300 range.
Really?
If they had gemstones on them, they, you know, can go much higher in the $2,000 range, perhaps. Depends on the quality of the work.
Sure. And does it affect the value of this if I were to polish it up and clean it up?
If you could polish it gently, that would be fine on that. Well, when we warn against polishing too much is especially on silver-plated items. If they continue to be polished, the plating can actually wear off after many years. So this one seems to be sterling. You can polish it, you know, be gentle with it and polish it nicely and try and keep it somewhere where it's not, you know, an anti-tarnish bag is the best thing. Like people keep silverware in.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a piece of that anti-tarnish cloth at a fabric store and just wrap it in that.
Okay. What about the Coca-Cola case? I've never seen another one like it.
Yeah, I've seen some of those, and they are sought after. And I'm thinking, it's in good shape without rust?
Oh, yeah, it's in, really, I'd say mint shape. You know, it would have been stamped aluminum that would have been formed into the six-pack holder to hold six of the little 12-ounce bottles.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me to see that go in the $75 to $100 range.
Okay.
All right. There you have it. Thank you, Bob, for calling. Appreciate it. And Betsy and Stoughton, we are on to you. Hi, Betsy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Shirley, I have a piece that was handed down from my grandmother. It is a jardiniere and pedestal, and it's majolica. And I was able to look at the underside of the top of it, and it says Wardle, W-A-R-D-L-E. And then handwritten is the word Owens. And I've looked all over the net, and pretty much all I can come up with is an Australian website that does tell me that there was a Wardle and Company, and this is probably about 100 years old.
Well, I was going to tell you that I think Owens is the company that made the pottery.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes they put both the name of the maker and the person who sold it. Like, Marshall Fields was good for that,
mm-hmm.
for example. How tall is the...
Oh, the entire thing is probably about 30 inches tall. It's quite big,
mm-hmm.
and it's in beautiful condition.
Yeah. And Owens Pottery, I just quickly... went on the net here while I'm at home, founded in 1885, producing art pottery in 1896 on, and that sounds like your pottery could very well be in that line. And he said he made many different lines of pottery.
Mm-hmm.
A jardiniere is with a pedestal is a wonderful piece. People really, really like those because so often the jardiniers get separated from
right.
the pedestal. The pedestal got knocked over or the other way around. Boy, you know, I can't tell you exactly without seeing it, but knowing it's Majolica, in, I assume, a pleasing color. Is it brown,
yep,
gold, blue?
It's ivory, uh-huh. kind of ivory tan with a very pretty wreath motif, and then it has faces like a old man wind blowing.
Oh, sounds very nice.
It is.
It. I would see that in, you know, several thousand dollars. Perhaps even as you know, $5,000-$6,000. But I can't, you know, don't get too excited.
Sure.
I'd say it would at least be $2,000.
Where do I go to now from here to get this evaluated? I don't really want to ship it anywhere because it's so fragile.
No, you don't. Look on the Internet
mm-hmm.
For an appraiser in your area and go to one of the three major appraisal organizations. The one I belong to is International Society of Appraisers. There's the Appraisal Association of America and ASA, Appraisal Society of America, or American Appraisal Society, ASA, AAA, and ISA.
Okay.
And look for, they all, I believe, have a button on there that says find an appraiser or look for an appraiser. And then you can put in criteria, like where you're located.
Yes.
And find an appraiser then that's located in your area
mm-hmm.
who can appraise pottery.
Well, thank you very much.
All you're right.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for calling.
You should get that one insured, by the way.
Yeah, that's for sure. Dan in Fitchburg, on to you. Hi, Dan.
Hi, how are you folks?
Great.
Good. I had a couple questions. My grandmother has a collection of original Norman Rockwell lithographs. And a couple of them have really kind of intrigued me, and I was hoping that you could help me with an appraisal. The first one is The Doctor and the Doll, and the other one, it portrays a young Abraham Lincoln, and he's holding an axe and reading a book. And I'm not sure what it's called, but that's what's portrayed in the lithograph.
And what's the size of them?
They're big, and I couldn't give you dimensions. The Abraham Lincoln one is tall. It shows him full body. And then the Doctor and the Doll one, gosh, it's large as well. But I couldn't give you exact dimensions.
Okay. Well, it's hard to say. And, of course, condition is the most important thing.
Yeah, and they're in perfect condition. She got them from Norman Rockwell's studio.
Okay.
Back in, I think, the 60s or 70s.
Okay. You see a lot of prints around, and they can be in you know, several thousand dollars if they are the original. So it's hard to say exactly what yours will be with that subject. It varies by the subject, and you know which print it is, and if it really is original. Of course, signed they bring the most money. Unsigned, you know, just like a lithograph might be. $300-$400.
Yeah, both of them are signed.
Okay, that would bring it up.
And the Doctor and the Doll one is, I think it's printed as 47 out of 200.
Okay.
And the Abraham Lincoln one, it doesn't have a number mm-hmm. on it. I think if anything, it says 0 out of 0.
Okay. Well, I'm seeing them in the ranges of 500 to maybe 700, and again, just a word of warning, and you know where it came from, I think, but people have to be sure that the signatures are authentic, and that
right.
that's something, you know, you need to compare a known signature with the one you have, and then you have to make sure it's not a printed-on signature, that it is actually signed, so that it's actually hand-signed and that it's signed by the person, not someone from the studio, someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of thing we need to be careful of when we're looking at those signed pieces.
All right. Good luck. Thank you very much for your call. And no shortage of calls here, Shirley.
Okay.
Let's go to Joan in Williams Bay next. Joan, hello.
Hello. I wonder if Shirley could help me. I have a 20-year-old Walt Disney ceramic Snow White and five dwarfs, and I need to find the missing dwarfs to complete my set.
I was going to say, weren't there seven?
Yeah.
And I think this is Happy and Sneezy, but I, you know, it's precious because it was given to me by my daughter, but she could not give me the other two. I have for the last few years tried to find them unsuccessfully.
Have you looked at on the internet? Have you kept an eye on like?
No, I don't know where to go. I went to Walt Disney once, but I didn't have any luck.
I would go to eBay.
Oh, eBay?
Uh-huh. And search for Disney, and you can even search by the name Sneezy and what was the other one, Happy,
right?
And Disney, and I think you will see some coming up.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I will do that.
All right. Thank you for calling. And Becky in La Crosse, your turn. Hi, Becky.
Hi. I have a couple things. I'm not sure if you talked about this or not. I have a 1954 nude calendar of Marilyn Monroe.
Is it offered as an advertising piece by someone, or is it just the calendar?
It's a calendar that's been rolled up. It came from my father-in-law.
Okay.
It just says original Marilyn Monroe nude.
Okay. Marilyn Monroe is, you know, an icon.
Right.
And she is very much sought after in everything. And the nude calendars are collectible. Any of the old cheesecake kind of thing is collectible, but then especially with Marilyn Monroe, I have seen some, depending on which they are, I've seen them go in the, $150 to $200 range.
Okay.
Very nice.
Yes, I have a photograph also.
Of her?
Of her, yes. My father-in-law was in the service, and I'm not even sure where it came from. We just found it at the bottom of a box when we were cleaning my in-law's house out.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was one that's just a postcard of her.
Okay, is the photo like one he shot with a snapshot or an actual 8x10 publicity shot?
It's an 8x10, and she has a negligee on.
Okay. You might get some good money on those.
Someone called in and said that the person with the Marilyn Monroe plate should get in touch with Sotheby's because this could be too valuable for the internet.
Okay,
by the way.
That's the Playboy plate.
Yeah, the Playboy plate.
Yeah, that's just something really they're going after. I mean, pinup photos, black and white, you see a lot of them offered for $100 to $300.
I did see some of her calendars that were on Sotheby's, but they didn't have the price.
Yeah.
That they sold for.
Yeah, you would have to register on the website, and then it's kind of a complicated search for it. But you can find those.
Okay.
You can also go into eBay, and on the left side, you need to sign up and get an account. Which you can go to completed listings, so you can see what things actually sold for, not just what people are asking for.
Oh, okay.
But they will give you a list of what they sold for. And you see a lot of them where people ask big money and they didn't sell. So
Okay.
It depends.
All right. There you go, Becky. Thank you very much. And probably the Marilyn Monroe plate, that was from the other caller. The person said Sotheby's might be interested in that one. It might be too valuable for the Internet.
Yeah. It's really something that it's probably, obviously one of a kind. And, like, that first issue is so rare and goes for good money that, yes, I would think so. But, again, ask the questions. Well, how much are they going to take of the percentage and things? But they do have good sales, and they know the collectors, the people who go for those things. They have lists of those people.
Let's turn to Irene and Stoughton next. Hi, Irene. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have an oil painting by Ellis Brandt. It's of the port of Gloucester, Massachusetts, that I actually purchased for, I think it was about $10 at St. Vincent. It's 30 by 40 inches, and it seems to be, you know, quite excellent quality. I was wondering if you were at all familiar with this name.
Did you say it was an oil?
Yes.
Let me look here. And the first name?
Is Ellis.
Ellis Brandt.
Brandt.
B-R-A-N-D-T?
B-R-A-N-T.
Oh, just with a T. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't know. I had heard that he had worked in Milwaukee, but obviously he spent time in Massachusetts.
I am taking a minute here and looking up on one of my databases here of artists, and he is not in here as a known artist. So my take on him is that he's probably a local or regional artist.
Yes.
And doesn't have a body of work that has been followed in auction sales. So when we have someone like that, what I usually, and I can't say this with a, you know, real surety on your work, but what I often say to people then is look for similar size, genre, and style of work that people might sell at good juried art fairs. That might give you a kind of a comparable.
All right.
I see, and the fact that it's older isn't really an issue.
Well, it can be, but the really important thing about a work is it's quality and the known artist.
All right. Thank you so much, Shirley. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for calling. And Jill in Oshkosh, hello.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a Gruen 50th anniversary pocket watch.
Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about the watch?
Yeah, it's in its original case, and it also has the certificate with it of ownership.
Mm-hmm.
It has a number on it and everything, 133, and it's from 1924.
Okay. What you would need to do is find out what the metal is. And it might look gold, but there's all kinds of things, or it might look silver colored. But, for example, if it looks gold, we need to see if it's gold-plated, gold-filled, rolled gold, or solid gold. We also want to look at the works. Is it a jeweled watch, like 14 jewel, 17 jewel, whatever? So there's a lot of variables on that need to be looked at before we can give you any information. And a jeweler or a jewelry appraiser is really who you need to go to for that.
Yeah, that makes good sense. Shirley, we are out of time. Thank you so much. It really goes fast. Shirley, take a look at her website. It's BaumanAuctions.com, B-A-U-M-A-N-N, auctions.com, or go to heirloomappraisal.com. Shirley, again, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. I always enjoy it.
Always a great pleasure to have her with us, and a great pleasure to have you listening in as well. Thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.